So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and this is our bonus call for the series with Eva Gregory. And so we're going to start our calls the way we do each call, just with a moment of connection. So take a nice deep breath and exhale. And these are best done standing or even walking. Feet hip-width apart, knees slightly softened. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale. And just feel yourself coming more alive, more aware, more present in this moment. And feel yourself fluid in movement as this dynamic force of life being sourced in each and every moment in this bioenergetic portal that is your glorious body. Take another nice deep breath. And exhale and feel your energy, your essence ripple into the room. Feel yourself expanding easily and effortlessly until you are as big as you can get. And feel your connection to one another. So all that is. And to this collective intention of conscious business. Knowing that on this call there is something for you. Ready to be fully engaged by you right now. And that will lead you into the more of your conscious being, your conscious business, your conscious life. Take a nice deep breath and exhale. And just feel that intention rippling, touching everything, everyone, everywhere, and being touched in turn by everything, everyone, everywhere. And this dynamic weave and connection that is life. Our call today is with Eva Gregory, and the topic is the feel-good guide to prosperity in business and in life. And all of us want prosperity and success, and it all looks different for each one of us. And our guest today is an expert in the area of prosperity, and in fact, her book, The Feel-Good Guide to Prosperity, has a radical approach to prosperity and success, that it doesn't have to be hard work. She's going to share with us how to tap into the unlimited prosperity of the universe. Her book is an invitation to each and every one of us to take a look, stop for a minute, breathe, and feel the goodness in the word prosperity. Take a moment and just feel prosperity. Eva Gregory is a mastery coach, speaker, and author of several programs and books, including The Feel Good Guide to Prosperity. For almost two decades, she's been practicing the law of attraction, using the principles to enrich her life and her businesses. And she's instructed tens of thousands in person, on the radio, and in dozens of teleconference training seminars and workshops on how to deliberately create a life by design using the law of attraction. Eva was named International Coach of the Year in 2006, and she's regularly featured on radio and in the media and is a recognized authority on the law of attraction. Her latest book, Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction with Jack Canfield. Eva, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's really exciting to have you talking about a topic that many of us have been exploring for a really long time. I mean, it's not like this is something new. And in the past, probably 2 to 3 decades, it's been very, very prominent in personal development circles. And what's happened is that it has become the law of the land. I mean, you go anywhere, Eva, and people know what law of attraction means.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is startling, isn't it?
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. You know, I was studying law of attraction back in the 80s and actually used the law of attraction to find this community I'd never heard of before back in 1998 called coaching. And then when The Secret came out, of course, it really did take it much more mainstream. And so I felt like after years of teaching it and running many, many programs on the law of attraction, that once The Secret came out, it says, yes, we have been validated. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you were in the vanguard, darling.
Mm.
You know, it's because of people like you that were really, you know, working this and being it, that it did land in consciousness the way that it has.
Mm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Mm. Indeed. And, you know, there's so many folks that get confused around the law of attraction, that have questions around it, that feel like, you know, yeah, it's nice, and it works in this circumstance, but it doesn't work in that circumstance.
Hmm.
I wondered if you could just start us off just with an explanation around law of attraction, what it is and what it isn't.
Mm, great. Yeah, well, first of all, the law of attraction is a universal principle. It's been around forever, and it's something that is the foundation of everything, and it's also, by the way, the foundation of all of our old religions at their core is the law of attraction. And what I call the definition of the law of attraction is it's wherever you put your focus, energy, and your emotion into, you're going to attract into your life. You are actually, the word is attraction, you're creating it in your life. So if your focus, energy, and emotion, now here is where I put the emphasis. It's on the emotion. It's the emotional charge you have on any given thing that is creating more of that in your life, whether it's wanted or whether it's not wanted. So a lot of times I hear people saying, well, the law of attraction is not working for me, and I'm saying, yes, it is, honey. It's not what you want because of where your focus is. But the law of attraction is working. There's no off switch.
Hmm.
There is no off switch to the law of attraction. So if you're focused on something and it's feeling really good, or you're eager about it, or you're feeling inspired around it, you're having fun with it, it's something that's easy for you, then you're really in the flow. You are really creating more of the same in that particular area in your life. If you're focused on something and you're pushing against it, you're worried, you are in anxiety, you're not sure, it's not feeling good, you're pushing against something, then the law of attraction is still working. You're creating more of the same. So you begin to attract more situations and circumstances that are in alignment with being in resistance, being worried, being in panic, being sad, whatever those emotions are. The other thing I want to say about the law of attraction is it's the, taking it back to the emotion, it's the emotions that let you know where you're what they call vibrating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the attraction point. And it's like your thoughts are the engine, but your emotions are the fuel. And so look at what are the thoughts that are going on in your head and how are you feeling about them. The good news is you could want something. I'll just give you an example. You could want something really, really badly. And as much as you want to focus on it and learn how to feel good about it, you just can't. You can actually take your focus off this thing that you really, really want because it's not feeling good when you think about it. Put your focus on something that's easy for you to feel good about, and you can attract this thing that you wanted over on the other hand. So let me just give you an example. I worked with a client, and she wanted a mate. She had never been in a healthy relationship before, ever. And so we started working with her and started talking to her about what this mate would look like, how he would be interacting with her, what would they be doing, what kind of conversations would they be having, where would they be going, what would a typical day look like, and really had her amp that up. But she would come back, like in the middle of the week, and say, you know, I'm really back in that place again. That was great. And what I'm noticing, he's still not here, and I've never had it. So what's different? And I realized at that point, this was one of those times when it would be better to take her focus off this thing that she really, really wanted and get her focused on something that would feel really good, that's easy for her to feel good about, so she could shift her energy, because it's not about the detail of what we're focused on. Our desires are out there. You can't make up your desires. They are what they are. We don't just wake up in the morning and say, what would I like to desire today? You either desire it or you don't desire it. So that's already out there. That's the good news. So I asked her, what is she working on right now that she's really pumped about? She had just bought a condo, and she was decorating and getting it the way she wanted it. So I said, great. So let's focus there. Focus there. Put all your energy in that. You're really excited about it. So just play there and let the rest go. She went to a nursery to buy plants for her condo, and guess who she meets? She met the guy. She didn't know it at the time, but they struck up a relationship, and eventually he was the one. She was not, this is an example, she was not visualizing and saying affirmations, because every time she thought of him, it didn't work for her. She just noticed she didn't have it. She did not go on the internet dating. She was not being set up with blind dates. She wasn't hanging out in bars. She just went to where she was getting true joy and focusing there. And situations, circumstances, events will all begin to line up when you can focus on what feels best to you in any given moment.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I tell my clients is, you know, going where the energy flows. And that's what
yes.
it sounds like. You know, if the energy stopped up in something that you really, really want, you know, and yet you go where the energy flows, it like opens the energy for you in all areas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that example, wonderful example. And I know that you've been in business for quite some time now, Eva. Can we apply the same kind of, because a lot of the folks that are
yes.
here, a lot of folks are new to business. And so they're in a place where a lot of them don't have money to start a business, and they want to start a business. And I know that, you know, you have had some experience around your business when you first started out. Is there anything that you can share with us around how you use this feel-good guide to prosperity in your business?
I can. And actually, what I'd love to talk about is when I was in a really, 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 really bad place in my business and how I turned that around.
Okay.
As an example, it's such an extreme example, and it really paints a picture. This was actually before I got into coaching, and I was with my mate Robin. We had a software company, and in that company, we were struggling, really struggling, to the point where we were laying off people left and right. We could not make our payroll for the few people that were left. We weren't paying ourselves in order to be able to at least pay them something, and we struggled with this for about 3 years or so. And during that time, we were looking for backers. We were looking for venture capital. We were looking for business partners. We were going around doing the dog and pony show about our product, this fantastic software program we had. We had developed it, was patented, but we just didn't have the cash flow. And, of course, all of us who are business owners know that cash is king. And so having the greatest program in the world is not really of any use if you're not being able to make it a success. And during that time, morale was really low. Robin and I, as I said, were not even paying ourselves. Things were ugly. We had creditors after us personally. We had creditors after us in our business. Our employees were unhappy. They were stressed out. So the tension was really, really high. And if our landlord at that time had decided to evict us because we hadn't been able to pay our rent, we would have had to walk and left everything where it was. We had nothing. It was ugly. And it was really just a few years before it got that ugly, interestingly enough, was when I stumbled across the law of attraction. I'd been studying metaphysical works for years, even at that time, and it eventually led me to Abraham Hicks, abraham-hicks.com. If any of you on this call are not familiar with them, I would highly recommend that you run, do not walk, to that website. And I saw that they were saying the same thing, but they were saying it in a way that was so simple, and it was so crystal clear to me. It was like the light bulbs came on, the fireworks went off, and I really got it. And I really understood now how to apply it in my life. But here's what I had done, and this happens with a lot of people, especially when they start to learn the law of attraction, is they'll use it for certain things, right? Oh, I'm going on vacation, so I'll use it to create enough money to go on vacation, or I'll get the parking spot, all those kinds of things, right? But we're not using it on a moment-to-moment basis in our life. And I was the same. I was not using it at that level at that time. And I woke up at 3 in the morning. You know, that's when things seemed the worst. But I woke up this time about 3 in the morning, and I had this aha moment that said, wait a minute. I've been studying the law of attraction for a few years, 3 or 4 years at that point. And I've proven it works with certain things, right? You were talking about how people say it works for certain things but not others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I had reverted back to my old mode of operation when it came to the business. So it's like when something comes into crisis mode, you're bebopping along, you're using the law of attraction deliberately, and then something hits you sideways, and then you revert back to your old way, which is exactly what I had done. And so I realized, where had my focus been all this time? On exactly what I did not want. I had thoughts that we're going to lose the business. What if we can't pay our bills? What if we end up homeless? You know, it was crazy. And I realized that I had nothing to lose. I really felt like that at this point in my life, that we had tried everything else. We had stopped trying to do the dog and pony shows and all of that. And I thought, well, I have nothing to lose. Why don't I really put this to the test? And so I decided I was going to take in there's a process, an Abraham Hicks process called the Prosperity Game. Many of you may be familiar with that. So I took this process into the company, and I said, okay, we're going to have this big imaginary account, and we're going to start with $10,000, and we're going to deposit $10,000 into this imaginary account. Everybody could see it, posted it up on this big wall. And everyone in the company was going to post on that wall what it is they would spend their $10,000 on in the company. And tomorrow we would have $11,000. We'd increase the deposit by $1,000 a day. And we would spend the $11,000. And the next day, it would be $12,000. And we would all choose what we would spend that $12,000 on each day. So every day, we increased the deposit, and we'd all post what we'd spend that amount on. So the interesting thing was that folks began really acting as if this was real. Programmers were wanting to spend on the marketing department, and the sales department was wanting to spend on the programming department, and two of them wanted to buy computers at one point for the same department, and they were arguing over who got to do it. I mean, it was crazy. And I'm saying, hey, guys, abundance abounds. In this particular account, if you both want to spend it on that, you get to spend it on that. Now, the unexpected thing that happened was people began to be nicer. They began to relax a little bit. A little bit of that tension was gone away. That was the unexpected thing that I didn't expect to happen. And so they did start to get to be generous with each other. And here's the thing. The point of the whole game was not that was going to bring money in the door, but it was to focus on something that felt better than where we had been for such a long time, and to shift the energy. So this is the key. It's not about getting into action. The action comes after you've shifted your energy. But the most important thing, is to shift your energy to something that feels a little bit better. I don't care how teeny tiny little bit it is. If you can do it a little bit better, then you can do it again for a little bit better than that, and then a little bit better than that. And that was my point. I wanted to shift the energy. And I wanted to shift this emotional charge we had that we'd been carrying around for so long. Because the universe does not know if what we're focused on is real or imaginary. It only picks up on how you feel. It picks up on your vibration, and that vibration is real, by the way. Whether you can see the physical evidence of something that you want or you're simply feeling it, it's the same. It's absolutely the same, and that is what is your attraction point, okay? So whether you've seen the evidence of what you're wanting or you haven't seen it yet, if you're feeling that, you are in the attraction mode, and eventually it has to show up. And that's what the prosperity game did for us. It showed us that no matter what we did today, there was always more in the account tomorrow, and there would always be more in the day after that. In other words, the money in that, just in the time that we played that imaginary game, we felt like, okay, this is easy. The money flows, and we're having fun spending money. And if you were to play that game for a year, you would have spent over $666 million in your mind. And I'll tell you, when your focus is there, even if it's imaginary, you are stretching your wealth mentality until you do begin to attract more of that in your life. So it will start as energy, and it will start with how it feels. But eventually, if you're continuing on that path, eventually something will shift in your outer experience. It has to. That's what the law of attraction is. And within 9 months of beginning this process, someone we'd never heard of approached us to buy out our company lock, stock, and barrel. And we literally went from living paycheck to paycheck, when we got a paycheck in many cases, to successfully selling that business for a hefty sum of money. And that was the most transformational turning point in my life, bar none, when it comes to knowing without a shadow of a doubt that the law of attraction works. And it works every time, and it doesn't matter if it's for easy stuff or if you're in a really, really hard place. It works.
Wow. And the other thing that I'm hearing, Eva, is that you get the experience that you know,
yes,
that you can shift energy.
Yes. Yes. And that's the gift. You know, I would never wish anyone what we went through. And yet, it was that turning point for me. Good news is you don't have to go so low to have that.
Yeah.
Kids, don't try this at home. But, yeah, but to get it in the cells of my body, so I don't question it ever. It doesn't mean that I'm living a perfect life. I just want to say something about this. Life will always still get in the way, okay? Life is life. There's going to be contrast. We're going to have stuff that we butt up against and things that we aren't very happy about what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way that you can be with it and shift your energy so that the circumstances that you create something different than it might have had you not been in that place. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and what I'm hearing also is that it changes your relationship to life in that you're not so much at effect, you're more in partnership with life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a totally different playground.
It is indeed. And, you know, I still have my stuff. I still have things that show up, and I still have my stuff, and I still, you know, I go into my negative places too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm human, and that's just part of us being human beings. And I say this all the time. If anyone ever comes to you and says, well, you know, once you understand how the law of attraction works, then you can get your life to nirvana, and it'll be just like living heaven on earth, and you'll never have another contrast in your life. And I say, run, Bambi, run. It's just not true.
It's not true.
But you have the tools and the ability and the knowing to use what you know to then help shift yourself out of those things in a way that, you know, we spent years in that company. And it was when I finally began to stop the action journey, by the way, which was all the dog and pony shows and going to the banks and the venture capital people and all of that stuff we were doing for the 2 or 3 years that we were doing it. And no matter what we did, nothing worked. Because where was our focus? Our focus was in panic. It was not focused in coming from a place of feeling good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped all that, but we just focused on shifting the energy, and then we got the opening that we were able to access.
So what would you recommend to someone? We've got loads of folks that are brand new to business and want to start a business that's aligned with their values and their intentions.
Yeah.
What would you recommend as a process or a tool that they could use, aside from the prosperity game.
Right.
Here's another thing that I'm hearing, and I'm just going to throw this out because you've already said it. You did it in a group.
Yes. Yes. That's very, very good point. Actually, I hadn't even thought about that. But there's power in having – I am a major proponent of masterminds.
Yeah.
Speaking of groups, I have been in the same mastermind since 1999, so 10 years. I've been several masterminds, but one core mastermind that has been together for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the power of that, whether it's just groups because you've got like-minded people that you're wanting to be around or you set it up as a mastermind. There is huge power in having support and having others that are around you so that you're not starting this business or doing it in a vacuum. And I'll tell you, there was a point in my life where I had worked many, many lifetimes ago. I worked for IBM. And I thought that was the be-all, end-all, that, you know, once you joined IBM, you just stayed forever. Back in the days when they didn't have layoffs or anything, they just groomed you for whatever the different positions were that you were going to, and you would be there forever. And I got really unhappy with that, and I went out on my own. Here's something that didn't work for me, and I was going to do some consulting for the computer industry, even though I left IBM. I fell on my face for several reasons. One, I had no support. Two, I was leaving IBM. I was doing it to get away from something I was tired of. I was not moving towards something I was inspired to, which is a big difference. So if any of you are starting your businesses, are you doing it to get away from something else, or are you moving into it because it's something that you want to do? I was alone. There was no support system for me, and it tanked. I didn't last 2 years. So that support system is one thing, but the other thing is to be very clear on, for the sake of what are you doing this business for? What are the things that it's providing for you? What is it that, what's your vision? What is the passion? And to understand that if you're doing it from that place of inspired to it, and it's, you know, as business owners, we want to do this. We want to be able to create a business that supports a lifestyle that we want. We want to be able to use our passion to make an impact in the world. And by the way, we want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all of these pieces are there. And so to begin with, really looking at what is the business? What is it you want ultimately? And this comes back to my story. I'd never even heard of what coaching was, but I did know at the point when, after I fell on my face for the couple of years after I left IBM, I actually came into the company with Robin, and you can see we had an issue with that company eventually. However, the next thing I did is I got very clear. I want to get out of high tech and into high people. So I began focusing on what do I want as a new business owner if I'm stepping out from on my own? And I could look at all the things I didn't want. And by the way, it's okay. Some people say, well, don't look at what you don't want, only look at what you do want. But sometimes you have to be clear on what it is you don't want so you can then get clear on what you do want. And that's where I started. I don't want a brick and mortar. I don't want to be working in the computer industry. I don't want to have employees. I started there. And mm-hmm. So what was the opposite of that? I do want to be able to – when I said get out of high tech and high people, that's what I want. I wanted to work with people. Personal growth is what I thought, spiritual growth kind of work. And I wanted to work from home. I wanted to be able to travel and be able to do my work anywhere. I wanted to decide which hours I was going to work, that kind of thing. So I started putting that out. And I would say for all of you to look at that, even if you're already in your business or you're starting your business, go back and get really clear on all the pieces of how you want it to look. Now, I thought at the time that meant that I was going to be doing personal growth, spiritual growth workshops. And I went out and I did my first workshop, which was wonderful, small workshop, but wonderful, interacted with these people over the weekend. Sunday afternoon, everybody went home, and I felt like I was in empty nest syndrome. Mm. It was just so like, where did they go? What happens to them? How did they use what we did in the workshop? And so I came back to my vision, and I said, so what I want is all of these things that I said, and I want to be able to have an ongoing relationship with these people. I want to know what happens as they start to apply some of the things that we learned. 2 weeks later, I go into a Toastmasters conference, and the first breakout session I went into was this person there talking about this thing called coaching. And I knew that that was exactly what I was looking for. So I didn't even know what my business was. I just knew the essence of what I wanted until I went into that workshop that day. So many people will probably be a little more clear than I was about what it is, but to really get clear on your vision and focusing on the essence of what it gives you and how it is, no compromising. This is the other thing I would say, is not to compromise on what you think you have to do or should do or how the business must look in order for it to be successful, which means that you're going to be doing some things you don't want to do or in ways that you don't want to do them. But to really lay out exactly what you want. And if you don't know how you're going to do that yet, then remember that the how is not your work. It means that just tells you, if you don't have the how yet, that you need to be in the vision of it a little bit longer. That the how, you, when you start to ask that question and the answer is not coming, you're not finding it, go back and be in the vision of the business. Eventually, the how will begin to show itself. Either you will get the idea, you'll have an interaction, someone will tell you something, you'll ask the right person the right question. Something will begin to unfold that will begin to give you your how. And then you know now it's time to be in action around that piece. Also, I would say that there is this assumption, and it's a very good one, that you really need to have money to begin a business. And really, you can. There are many creative ways that you can do it, but if you will, this is a tough one, because here's what I tend to want to tell people, and this is a hard one. Take money out of the equation. When money is messing up your energy, take it out of the equation. In other words, let's just say I have someone who is an artist client, and she really wants to get her art out there. And she's really pure in her energy when she thinks about doing her art and thinks about where it's being put out and in the galleries and being seen and people buying her artwork and she being commissioned to do pieces. That feels really good. And then the minute she says, and I need to make money from it, then the energy gets muddled. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that's what we do. And then that muddled energy is why we are struggling in the business. So I worked with her for a year, and it took a year. And yet, over time, she began to let go of, like, take the money out, do what she needed to do, because we all need to pay our bills, and do what feels best to you and is the most fun if you can, even if it's not the most perfect thing. This is another area where I say always make the best with where you are and what you have. And not be in resistance to it, because when you can make the best of it, maybe it's not what the ultimate dream, but when you make the best of it, you're giving yourself a little bit of relief in your energy. And you're just doing it, and I just say, remember, it's just for now. Does it feel better not to do anything and not have any money, or does it feel better to do this thing knowing that you're on the way to your dream? And it was about 9 or 10 months into the coaching, she began to get her artwork into galleries, and she was commissioned. This is probably not accurate, but something like this, like the UN, something like that, had commissioned her to do this big, huge piece. So, I don't know if I'm even answering your question.
Absolutely, you've given so many tips are things that actually I've come to understand myself, especially this piece around taking the money out of the equation. And the focus on feeling really good and opening your energy to the flow. Because that's where all the creative stuff happens anyway. That's where the ideas will come. And I also loved what you said about, like, when you don't know the how. And that's a place where people really get stuck.
They do.
You know,
yes.
It's like, well, I don't know how. Well, I don't know how, you know, and they don't have the pieces. And, you know, being in the energy of that vision of their business, you know, just being in the playful, joyful juiciness of it and really enjoying it is one of the best things that people can do.
But one of the things I say, when you don't know how and you're working hard at trying to figure out the how, it feels very restrictive. You can tell That's when I say, how is a four-letter word? Get it out of your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the universe's job. Now, there are certain how things that I really would recommend that you actually go to. Things like, how easy can I stand it? How good can I stand it? How much fun can this be? Those are the how questions you want to ask yourself.
Mm. Yeah, and those are all things about, again, the energy. And another great thing that you're focusing on is, especially when you don't know the how, but you focus on the vision and you dwell in the energy of the essence of what it is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that sometimes we rush that part.
Most of the time, that's exactly what's happened. We discount the power of that.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's a nice little exercise to do, but not really relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about it. When you get into a crisis mode, it's, oh, my God, we've got to do something. And that's the most important time to really stop and say, look, let's just get back into a place of centeredness. Let's come back to getting our energy back in alignment. Let's soothe our energy. I'm so big on that. Soothe, soothe, soothe your energy. Do whatever you can just to relieve yourself of that anxiety or whatever's going on. And now from this place, ask, what is it you want? You know you don't want the crisis. And then from there, you can begin to get your answers for what needs to happen. But we're so much in the resistant mode when we're wanting to be in that crisis mode where we want to be into action. And it was very much the same thing with my story of the software company. We were in action all right, and we felt in crisis, and none of it was working.
Hmm. So I just want to nip back, because I think this is a really important piece here. How did those tough times when you had the software company, how did those tough times help crystallize your purpose?
Hmm. Wow. The experience itself, just the experience of it and coming out the other side and understanding the power, first of all, the power of law of attraction, which is why when I went into coaching, I was very clear that this was my work, is to help others understand exactly how this can work for you. And it doesn't matter how long you've not known it or what your belief system is or what religion you are or your culture or your level of education or whether you had a great life growing up or a bad life growing up. None of that stuff matters. That it works the same for everyone. And that, of course, became my passion, was to get this work out there in that way. And I just, again, I just have to say, I would never have said I would have wished that experience on anybody. And it's still, you know, I wouldn't even on me. But it really gave me a gift. It's kind of like looking at the breakthrough from the breakdown,
mm-hmm.
which happens a lot. And so this, that experience, and others, there have been others as well as that one, that was just happened to be the turning point for me, has created in me a knowing, a being able to not question. I can stand solidly in who I am and what I believe. It's not easy to sway. In other words, when you're not that sure, it's very, very easy to get swayed or to let go. Or to lose your vision. And so there's a knowing that is a strength, I think. That's a good question you're asking. I'm like, ooh, this is so good. What is it? That I have that I couldn't possibly have had otherwise. And from there, I am just how many people to understand that, yes, this is not for a few people. This is our birthright. It's the birthright of all of us, and it's simply a matter of understanding it and being able to step into it.
Hmm. So actually the contrast, the tough times, actually make possible so much more than you can even imagine.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. If we didn't have this kind of contrast in our lives, we would never grow. We wouldn't grow and expand. It would be, if I'm happy sitting on the couch watching soap operas all day, where's the growth in that? And so it's going to happen, and it has its place. Even if it's something as simple as I'm in overwhelm and I really just want to be at peace and get all the stuff off my plate, to finally getting that place, I'm hanging out on the beach, there's nothing to do, and I'm now tapping my finger because I'm bored, right? So either way, there's the pendulum swings. But for us to then understand that when the contrast shows up in our lives, rather than what we tend to do, which is look at the contrast and hate the contrast and resist the contrast, to take the contrast and say, okay, what's the rocket of desire, as Abraham likes to call it, what's the rocket of desire that just got shot off because of this contrast, and then put your focus on that desire, not on the contrast that's going on. Mm-hmm. The desire is whatever it might be. You know, in that case, the desire was to be secure, to have, you know, money, to back money in our account so that we could pay bills. It was to be confident. Whatever those different things are that the contrast is creating in you, go to the vision of what you want instead and put your focus there and play there. Milk that. Play in that vision. Feel the relief that you can get. And now you begin to create a very near future that's going to be different from one where, for those years that we were focused on not enough, can't do it, what if we get out on the street, what if we're homeless, what if we can't pay our bills, all of that stuff, which kept creating more of the same over those years until decided to make a shift. And this is not easy, simple, but not necessarily easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that's the other thing I think around law of attraction, where sometimes people make it sound like, oh, I'll just go think happy thoughts and my life will be. But it's not so easy when there's certain things that you care about and they're not going the way you want them to, or you have things come up in your life and they're not comfortable, they don't feel good, and we get attached to it sometimes, or we get attached to the way we want it to look and how we want people to react or to act. And when we do that, then it takes some effort. So, yeah, just shift your thoughts to something that feels better, but understand that takes some conscious, deliberate, intentional effort.
So there isn't any magical sticky glue that we can use?
Well, you know, if there were, I think this would be a different place.
Yeah, so...
Or I would be a bazillion year.
Yeah.
If I figured that one out.
So it's just, you know, the conscious application of...
It is.
Your intention.
It is, and it's just to keep bringing your focus back to what feels better. And if you are, I would say, keep it light and make it a game. Here's what I do a lot. I'm going to make it a game. I want to know how many times today, like if I've noticed, oh, gosh, I keep going back to that awful negative thought about something, right? So I'm just going to notice how many times today that I can catch myself in that and then deliberately for that moment shift my energy to feeling better. And then 2 minutes later, I might find myself with that thought again and I go, oh, okay, wait a minute. What is it I'd prefer to do? And when I'm working with clients, they get discouraged. They it's like, I had to switch my thoughts 20,000 times yesterday. And I went, that's great. Do you understand that's 20,000? That's an exaggeration, but that's kind of what I get. It's the 20,000 times that you actually shifted your thought rather than going through the whole day in that negative spin. That's major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the good news is that choice does get easier with the practice.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
And there's that persistence, you know, it's focus and persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Being willing to take, this, like, I'm not willing to take no for an answer. There's one of my phrases that I love. Success is your only option if that's what you choose to put your focus on. Success is my only option. That's it. And if I'm focusing on that, no matter what gets in my way, if success is my only option, then what? How would I be thinking? What would I be doing? And so you can just use things, you know, those kinds of things to keep bringing you back. But I really would say keep it light and make it a game, because when we get serious about this stuff is when we make it hard and then we're attached. And
Yeah, and the energy is not fun.
It's not.
Yeah, and it just closes you down. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a notice to folks on the webcast. I got an email from someone that that there was a problem. So if you want to submit a question, just refresh your screen, and you should have the dialog box to submit questions, because we're rolling along here. And so if you want to submit a question for Eva, make sure that you do that. So wonderful. Great. Thanks, Eva. In the meantime, I know that your own purpose is taking you on a very interesting journey lately. And I wonder if you might share some of that with us.
Are we talking about my guides?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. This is something also that has been a part of my life for quite some time now. And that is that I have my own inner communication with my guides. And I will tell you that for years I would, at night, this would be my pattern. I would sit down in the living room at night. I have a panoramic view of the San Francisco Bay and the lights of the city, and it's just gorgeous. So I will sit in my living room, and I would turn out the light so I could just see the lights outside my windows. I'd pour myself my glass of wine, and I would get quiet. And I would have this communication. And it would be blocks of thought. It would be in my head. I could interact with them. A lot of times I would get answers that didn't come through like sentences. It was sort of like the knowing would just come. And if I had to try to transcribe it, it would take pages. And it was kind of frustrating because I didn't have a way of, I mean, I had the knowing, but then how do I verbalize what I just got in a way? I don't know if this is making sense or not. But and then eventually it was in my head and actually having the conversation so that I could actually get the sentences. And then I would sit at my computer, bring them in, and then, you know, whatever came through would be keyed into my computer. And a couple of years ago, I actually began to verbally channel my guides. They had told me, by the way, that this was something I could have done years and years ago, but it was my belief systems that were in the way. I didn't believe this was something that I could do. And also that this is something we all can do, whether it's verbally or you get it in your head or through writing, and we're all of us are getting it anyway. You know those times when something comes through and you go, wow, that was good. Where'd that come from?
Yes.
You know, those kinds of times in your writing, music, all these different ways that it shows up. But that's what happened a couple of years ago, and I was going to keep it to myself, and, of course, that was never the intention. And they were very, like, you can do whatever you want, and here was the intention. And eventually, just very organically, I began to share it with clients and friends and certain things, and it became clear that this was their work, is to help all of us who are wanting to have that really, really direct communication with our higher selves, particularly, that this is the time. It's not a generation from now. It's now. It's happening now. And as soon as I put this out there and started to share it with others, I was amazed at the numbers and numbers of very mainstream people you would have no idea are doing this. And my work now with them, my guides are Theos, is I have created programs where I take people through and they work with me and my guides to help tap into their own higher selves and begin that communication and that journey with their higher selves. And that is exactly where the direction of my business is now going. I'm in the process right now of really regrouping and changing my focus. And it was something that I was told that would happen, and I was kicking and screaming, thinking, I don't think so. I've created this wonderful, you know, business for myself, and I love what I do, and I love my clients. And it's happening naturally. It's happening organically. It's not as if something's going on that I'm not wanting and I'm not making the decisions about, that's for sure. So, yes, that is it. And shall I share about an upcoming call?
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's actually a couple. I didn't realize that there's a call tonight. There's a free call if any of you would like to join that call. And you can get the information at tinyurl.com/cosmicmaster. So I'll say that again, tinyurl.com/cosmicmaster. I am going to be doing a call. Theos is going to be actually taking people on the call through the experience of actually meeting and connecting with their higher selves. It's a free call. It's at 5 o'clock Pacific tonight. You'll get the information at that website. And I have another call. It'll be the same call, in essence, 1 week from today. So if you've got people that, I don't know if they'll be listening on a recording later, Adela.
Yes, they will.
Okay, so if they missed the one tonight, next Wednesday, there will be another call at 5 p.m. Pacific. And they can go, by the time, whatever, you can go to this URL, and after today, the new date will be up on it. So it's tinyurl.com/cosmicmaster. So I would invite all of you who are interested to come on down.
That sounds wonderful. And you must have experienced your moments of, whoa. And I had Merriam-Webster on one of our previous calls, and she was telling us all to blow your business up every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, God. No kidding. Mine's been blown up a couple of times.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
So you've got a successful business. I mean, it must have felt like, whoa, I'm blowing up my business.
And, you know, I have to tell you, there was a place of, especially when I first came out with this, of feeling extremely vulnerable. Like, are people going to think I'm crazy? And the response has just been magnificent, magnificent. And it's scary. It's like I've created something that's working very well for me, and I'm about to just toss it all, in a way, and do something completely new. Now, it's happening already, like slowly. So it's not as drastic as it sounds when I'm saying it, but that's kind of the feeling you get when you think, oh, my gosh, I'm about to toss everything out and start over. Definitely blowing it up. And so it is scary. It is scary, and yet I understand how to bring myself back, and I get back into the connection of it, and I get so inspired, and I love this work. I thought I loved coaching. Gosh, it's like, wow, you mean something can get even better? Well, apparently so.
Yeah, and that is the promise of, you know, being in a conscious business, is that just like you evolve, your business evolves.
It did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
who would
have thought it? And it gets better.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's actually great news for folks.
Yes, it is.
Especially folks who can be, you know, right at the beginning, that it can be, you know, a little daunting to start, but to know that once you get this solid knowing in your body,
yeah,
you learn to trust it.
Yeah, and that's a big, big, big piece is to, once you start getting because you all have connection to your higher self. This is, you know, you are your higher self, really. But it's this a different level of understanding, awareness, and connection that you have. And then the next step from that is then to trust it, to really trust it. And now, boy, you've got the universe on your side. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it seems like there's, possibility is pulsing everywhere, Eva.
It is. It is. It's all happening.
Yeah. So for those people that may not be quite there yet, that it seems like it's a little bit further up the road, maybe they can see it, but they don't see how it's possible for them yet. Any suggestions, any strategies in the interim that they can use?
To see what's possible, their business or
their business.
Connection?
Yeah, and their vision and their own connection, because we know that these things are all intertwined, because your connection to your higher self is what's really going to give you the vibrant business that's going to really skyrocket.
Yeah. First thing I would say is trust your emotions. That's your emotional guidance system. That is actually your guidance at its basic self, okay? And so when you're checking in with yourself about to do something around a business, how does it feel? If it doesn't feel good, ask yourself what would feel better. And get away from the shoulds and the ought tos and coulds and what people say I have to do and all of that kind of stuff, is to really tap into, all right, so how does this feel? And if it doesn't, what would feel better about it if I did what? The other thing is to, I would really recommend that you spend you don't need any more than 10 minutes a day. This is a really great practice of just being quiet, really just being quiet with the intention of getting clarity. And you can have very specific things that you want to get clarity on, or it can just be in general that I want clarity. It's like going to the gym. You have to work out. You can't work out one day and then a couple of months later go out and say, I haven't worked out for a while, so I'll work for 3 or 4 hours and then don't go for another 2 weeks. This builds on itself just the way it does when you go to the gym on a regular, consistent basis. So with nothing more than that you wanted to get quiet, to connect with who you really are, and there's nothing for you to do. This is the part that's the hardest for people to understand. There's nothing to do. It's about allowing. So let whatever is going on go on. Just spend your 10 minutes of quiet. And then begin over time noticing things as you are getting a little bit clear, the synchronicities, all of those kinds of things that will happen. The answers will begin to come in different ways. A book will fall off a shelf. Someone you'll meet will be perfect for what you're looking for. But it's building on itself, this little 10 minutes a day. And there's nothing for you to do. Simply allow. Let your higher self do the work. Sounds crazy, I know. And it's really, really powerful process.
Yeah, and it's a shifting from an outer compass to an inner one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is where everything is whoever it was that said there is no out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you've got a bonus for our folks also.
I do.
Yeah.
I have a bonus. It's a course that I created several years ago called Wake Up to the Dream, How to Make Dreams a Reality Now. It's a 12-week e-course. That course is normally $695, and I am got it on a special bonus page, which I use it once in a while for bonuses, even though I still sell it. So I'm going to give you the private page so you can get it directly, which is leadingedgecoaching.com/dream bonus.
Wonderful. And I will make sure and get that link out to folks in an email just
good.
In case you didn't catch that. But it's leadingedge.com/dream.
It's Leading Edge Coaching.
Leading Edge Coaching, thank you, .com/dream bonus. And I will include that in a follow-up email.
Excellent.
Eva, it's been wonderful to have you here with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I love it.
Yeah, and you're just zooming into a new direction. You sound really, really excited about it. I'm sure that the calls that you're going to be having are going to be really excited. So the call with you and Theos is going to be around tapping into your higher self.
It's called Your Cosmic Connection to Source, and it's learning how to tap into your higher self directly.
Wonderful. Yeah. What I call DC, direct current.
Direct current. I like it.
Direct current. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here with us. I will make sure and send folks all those links this evening after the call. And it's wonderful to hear your new direction and all the fun stuff that you're up to, and you're all energized on your new path. And I wanted to thank you again for being here.
Excellent. Thank you. I've enjoyed it, Adela.
Wonderful. So I'm just going to unmute our line so everyone can say goodbye.
Thank you. 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 Thank
Hello? Hello?
I think they're gone.